We don't know about tomorrow. We don't even know what the rest of today will bring, do we? Because life can change in a blink of an eye. When disaster hits, when bad news comes, our day can either be happy the rest of the day or can be ruined. We want to read about a man that was in the Old Testament. And he is found in a chronic, in a chronicle history of, if you will, a family history with names. And it talks about this one man that stood out to the writer in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. I don't know about you, but I have actually memorized these verses, or at least the prayer itself that this man prayed. The only thing that is remembered about Jabez was a short prayer. It's the only thing that the Bible records of him. A short prayer. Let's read these verses. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. It's actually a four-part prayer, but I want to just summarize it this morning for the beginning of this year. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called him, his name Jabez, because I bore him in pain. In other words, she probably almost died in childbirth. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Jabez became a success in his life because a short four-part prayer. He didn't first worship God and praise God and get himself into a emotional frenzy of feeling the presence of God. It doesn't say that. The simple prayer, four petitions. And it actually is a prayer all about himself. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Oh, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So it was a prayer for himself. Is it wrong to pray about ourselves and to ask God, "Lord, bless my soul"? No. We should do that repeatedly. Jabez had to overcome a very bad start in his life. I can imagine he goes to school as a boy and he's bullied. "Oh yeah, your name is Pain. You're a pain in the neck. You're just full of pain. Your life is this riddled with pain and agony and suffering and affliction." Maybe he had a physical affliction. I don't know. The Bible is quiet about it. All it says is what he prayed. His mother called him Pain. And that's a very negative term. None of us enjoys pain. We hate it. And we can't stand it. We don't like it. This is why we have painkillers. kill the pain. But I believe that Jabez, from the very young age, he cultivated a dream, if you will. A dream is like a vision, not a dream you have at night and it comes and goes and it's maybe worthless. He had a vision for his life. And he probably asked, what are my chances of being successful in life? I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on my physical being. I will never be a sports athlete. Because my name is pain. It's negative. I am labeled. I am stamped for life. I'm destined to fail. What are my options? And he turned that attitude, that reality, into a prayer. And that prayer was very simple, but it was very bold as well. But it came from the depths of his heart. And he received a big answer. And that's the main thing. It says, God granted him what he requested. Isn't that beautiful? So I tend to hold on to that. And I want to pray this year again, every day. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says this. Because Jesus wants you and me to live up to our potential. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. I still struggle with this scripture at times. Because it really seems that, isn't Jesus exaggerating just a little bit here? Who can ever dream of or think of doing greater works than Jesus? He says works. He doesn't talk about authority and miracles and all that. He says greater works. I have to just believe Jesus' words because he doesn't lie. He wants us to pray, Lord, enlarge my territory. So I want to join Jabez and many other believers in trusting the Lord that he will do a new thing, including miracles this year in our lives. And such miracles that will give great glory to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Enlarge my territory. See, God looked at this prayer from the perspective, if I give Jabez what he asked for, the Lord will be glorified. That's why he gave what Jabez asked for. If we ask from our heart, from the bottom of our heart, I believe firmly that God will be glorified. See, Jabez lived in a time when many in Israel that were called by God's name, they were called to be people of God, they did not walk with God. He lived in a society where a lot of people confessed to be people of God that were not. They had no personal connection or relationship with the Lord. And here is where Jabez distinguished himself. He said in his heart, he didn't say it in words, but in his heart, I may not have a big chance when it comes to career success, to riches, to good health, or all of that. I may not have a good chance. But one thing that nobody can give me or take away from me is my relationship with my God. Because he called on the God of Israel, and the God of Israel, Jehovah, Yahweh, he was in Jabez's life. He was present. Many people excuse themselves from doing what God wants because society and their surroundings are unfavorable, and the world tells us day after day, if people are in a better environment, they will flourish, they will do better. You have to put them in a good environment. Jabez was not in a favorable environment, but he flourished because of one thing, his connection with God. So ask the Lord to use your faith and prayers this year as a testimony to the fact that you are not dependent on the spiritual climate around you, but you are dependent on the Lord himself, his grace, a personal relationship that no one can take away, except if you and I neglect it, then it can fall away. One thing I want to focus on here today is the last request that he made. And we want to make this a focus for this year. I hope you join me with that. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me and I would not cause pain. Let's just meditate on that for a while. Why did Jabez pray, keep me from evil? What had he experienced in his life that made him pray that? And why did Jesus teach us to pray, deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil? Why? Let's think about that. You see, Jabez was on God's, if we will, on God's honor roll. Look at the verse again, verse 9 in 1 Chronicles 4. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. This being more honorable comes through a sincere and genuine relationship with God. Jabez being more honorable than his brothers was that he had this personal connection with God. He led a life of prayer. He had a relationship with his Maker. And that is the only reason that I can say made him more honorable. Because what else would? So he was set apart. And you know what? If you belong to the church, if you belong to the body of Christ, if you are born again, you are more honorable than those that are not following Christ. We have to remember that. This is why the church and believers are being so persecuted. Like I said last night, almost 90,000 Christian martyrs that laid down their life last year. That's a lot. But we have become more honorable through salvation because Christ has imparted his righteousness into us. So now, people would say, well, you're going around and you're making these claims that God has made you righteous and you think you're better than us. No, we don't think we're better than other people. Everybody deserves the same salvation that we have received. But if we walk with God, we are more honorable than the wicked, than the sinners. That is the truth. Because God's word says, I will make sure that you see the difference between those who serve God and who do not serve Him. There's a difference. There's a difference in the mindset, a difference in philosophy, a difference in the worldview, a difference in lifestyles, in everything. And a godly lifestyle, loved ones, is often a thorn in the eyes of the unbelievers and the rebellious that are against God. And it makes us vulnerable. To live godly lives makes us vulnerable because we have escaped the bondage and prison of sin and of the world and of addictions. We're no longer under the rule of the enemy. We're not dictated by sin any longer, by addictions any longer. We are under a new chief, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And, of course, the Holy Spirit as well. So being on God's honor roll includes that we have more responsibilities. And it's going to be tough. It is tough at times. And God gives us more responsibility, a greater burden of duties, and a burden for lost souls that they too would get help in a very humble way. But Jabez had observed what evil can do. And I just assume here that Jabez, since he was more honorable than his brothers, that he had experienced the evil of jealousy in his family, as was the case with Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph and how his brothers were jealous? He had this wonderful robe. I can imagine it was something like our brother here has, a wonderful robe. Yeah, I like that, by the way. It's you're a Joseph in our midst. But his brothers became jealous. And jealousy, you see, when you're more honorable than your brothers, you open a can of worms. And jealousy has no boundaries. Jealousy turns into hatred. And hatred, like John the Apostle says, turns into murder. That's what Joseph's brothers did. Jealousy knows no limits. It starts with mocking, with ridiculing, with envy, all the way to hate and murder. And I would like to argue that in many a heart of Christians, there's jealousy dwelling. That if they could act out on their jealousy, they would actually kill somebody. That is evil. And Jabez simply asked, Lord, keep me from this evil. Help me not to become like dishonorable people that allow jealousy to eat away like cancer in their lives, that destroys their moral fibers. Keep me from this harmful venom, he wanted to say. So it would not affect me physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and financially. Because as I said, jealousy has no boundaries. It was jealousy that put Jesus to the cross. Did you know that? It was jealousy. Read up on it. But then Jabez says, help me that I would not cause pain. Now, there are different translations. Some say that it would not grieve me, the evil would not grieve me, and that's good. that it would not affect me, that the wrong that others are doing to me would not affect me and my relationship with you, Lord. It's very important to pray that. That I would also forgive those that wrong me, not necessarily for their sake, because if they're not sorry, it doesn't help them, but that it would help me to be free in my heart, that nothing would become between me and my God. But he said, he goes a step further. In the New King James Version, it says that I would not cause pain. That what has been afflicted on me, that I would not inflict that to others, that I would never retaliate. Oh, you gossip about me, so I'll let you know. I'll give you a piece of my mind, and I'll let you know, and I'll tell others about you. That's off limits, because he was more honorable. So he prayed, Lord, help me to stay out of trouble. Can you pray that this year? Every day of this year, Lord, help me to stay out of trouble. Now, we will get into trouble sometimes. If we are more honorable, as the Bible says that we are priests and kings called into God's kingdom, we'll get into trouble. But that I would not cause pain. You see, often well-meaning people don't realize that they cause pain to others because of their stubbornness, their unwillingness to give in an inch, because they think to give in an inch portrays weakness. And they cannot do that. They have too much pride. Their ego is too big. I remember one pastor talking to a young pastor that was training. And the young pastor said, well, what about this and this? You want me to do all this? What about you? And he said, I am past the ego thing. I will never forget that. I am past the ego thing. I am flexible. Because sometimes our stubbornness and bad habits, or even our remarks that we make about others and to others, hurts others and causes others pain. And I pray with Jabez, Lord, help me not to cause pain with any words. Now, mind you, there's one exception. And that is the preaching of the Word of God, because the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, and sometimes it will seem like the Word, it's painful to hear. But that's because our hearts may not be right with God, because if they are right with God, the Word of God is to us like a balsam. It just helps us. It just encourages us and challenges us, and we welcome those challenges. But when the preaching, when the Word of God, the clear preaching of the Word of God hurts you, bring it to God. But I have one resolve, that I never intentionally hurt anyone by anything I say. I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to cause discouragement in any way. So let's learn from Jabez. Lord, keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me, and I would not cause pain, that I would watch my tongue, that I would watch my attitude, that I would watch my habits, and even some of my character flaws, that I would not somehow hurt other people in any way, shape, or form. Can we do that this year? That's my desire. Jabez asked the Lord to help him avoid giving into feelings of anger and revenge and frustration or even discouragement. Isn't it true that oftentimes it is easier to give into our feelings of discouragement than to bring it to the Lord until we no longer feel discouraged? It is hard sometimes. I know. I think Jabez endured a great deal of criticism by others, and it probably tempted him many times. He had these feelings of revenge. Oh, you have no right to say this. You have no right to do this to me, you brothers. And often he felt like fighting back. Maybe clearing his name. Well, he didn't have much of a name, did he? His name was Pain. He couldn't clear his name. But he said that I would not cause pain, that I would not do what others have done to me. Jesus taught us to pray in similar fashion. He said, lead us not into temptation. See, temptation is something that, how should I say, is very individual, very personal in everyone's life. The temptations you have may not what I have, but temptations are there nevertheless. It would seem that God could lead us into temptation if he would choose so, right? Because why would this be in the Lord's Prayer if the possibility of God leading us into temptation was not there? But the Bible assures us in James chapter 1 that God himself does not tempt us to sin. God will never tempt you and me to sin. In James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The Greek word for pirasmos has two meanings. One is a putting of proof by experiment of good, and the other is an experience of evil solicitation. Now, God will allow us to be tested. And here's one thing we need to watch. Jabez prayed, keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me, that I would not cause pain. Many times we say, well, you know, the preacher should really talk about hell and the destruction of hell and this place that Jesus talked about so much. The dangers of hell. You don't want to go to hell. That's the last thing you want to think of. But we need to remember one thing that leads to hell, and that is sin, right? So Jabez prayed, Lord, keep me from sinning. Keep me from disobeying you. Keep me in line, okay? And sometimes God uses certain disciplines to help us stay in line, whether we like them or not. How can we ask God the Father to lead us not into temptation if we expose ourselves to many sinful things? That's a good question, isn't it? God doesn't want you to play with fire. If you know something is destructive and something is coming between you and God, put it away. Remember what Jesus said, how drastic we should be in that, how decisive we should take action when something tries to stand between us and God? He said, if your eye tempts you to evil, pluck it out and throw it away. Now, he doesn't mean that physically, because if we could do it physically, we probably would all run around blind. But that wouldn't make us saints, would it? But what Jesus is talking about in allegory language, that we should put aside anything and everything that hinders us in our relationship with God. Galatians 5 verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you should or would. So what we're praying here with the prayer of Jabez, keep me from evil, is that God's restraining grace would just take hold of us and we would not allow ourselves to get into unnecessary temptations. There's enough temptations that we don't have to even ask for. Now, I want to just give one example, and there's many of those. What do you do when you want to stay away from drinking, from being intoxicated? You stay away from the liquor stores. You stay away from the bars. You don't go there. You stay away as far as possible. Why? Because you don't want to play and mess with fire. You don't want to put yourself in the situation where you sin again. You go into the bar after you have been sober for a while and say, well, I'm so glad that I don't have to drink. But you're right there and the drinks are offered. That's not what God wants. Keep me from evil. I said, that's just one example. The same goes for pornography, for all of the other addictions that enslave people. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's very important that we realize how dependent we are of God in keeping us from evil. Yes, we can stay away from areas of temptation, not to get into unnecessary temptations, but we live in this world. We are vulnerable because we're on God's honor list. Therefore, you and I need to pray every day, Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from doing wrong. But there's another thing. Let's also pray that God keeps us from being stubborn, not asking forgiveness when we have wronged somebody. That's very important. Keep me humble enough that I can ask forgiveness if I offended somebody. If I said something and I noticed that person is really hurt about things that I said, that we are willing and humble enough to ask forgiveness. So as Jesus prayed, deliver us from all evil, or deliver us from the evil one, we want to pray this year that God keeps us and our families and our church and our leaders out of the arena of the enemy, that the enemy doesn't have it at us, but we are protected like a protective shield by God the Father, and we walk in the grace of Jesus Christ. Do you want that? I hope you do. Now, you and I, we will not be able to avoid every confrontation at all times. There are times when you and I will actually meet indirectly. We will meet the devil himself. We will feel as if darkness is all around us. We will feel attacked by the enemy. When those times come, cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I feel the enemy is attacking me. And I ask you to rebuke him. And you can rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus as well, because the Bible says, you being dead in your trespass and your uncircumcision, he has made alive together with Christ, having forgiven all your trespasses. He has put all of that aside. And then it says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We can, and God wants us to live in victory this year. Keep us from evil. And I want to pray also that God keeps us from the evil of disunity and disharmony in the church. That he preserves us in the unity of Christ. That we all grow in our relationship and our faith in Jesus. And we encourage one another. We build up one another. The Bible calls it edifying one another. Edifying means that we appreciate each other so much. And we express that appreciation. And we say, you know, you are so valuable to me. Last night was special for me and Anne. And Sister Andrea came, and many of you came to pray for us. We will never forget this. This was the best year-end gift that we could have wished for. It means so much to us. Keep me from evil. And as a pastor, when we were in Bible school, the Bible school teacher told us there are three big dangers for every pastor. And it all has to do with the human nature. And he listed the three biggest dangers. He said financial greed. And he said women. And being wanting to be honored. Wanting to be esteemed. And I have taken that to heart. And I pray, Lord, keep me from all evil. And I pray that you would pray with me. You would pray for me. But also I'm praying for you. That God would help you if you have evil in your heart. Ask God to take it out, to forgive, because when we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's all there by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then keep praying, Lord, keep me from evil. I don't want to go back to old habits of sin and destruction. I want to move forward to the fruit of the Spirit, the righteousness, the holiness, the love, and all of that. God bless you. Amen.